Listen. It's the future. Or at least what the future sounded like to Andy McCluskey and Paul Humphreys back in 1980. That song, Enola Gay, was a huge hit for the British band, and it helped solidify their reputation as pioneers in the world of electronic music. After 30 years, the band is still touring, making new music, and pushing their sound into new places. OMD's new album is aptly titled English Electric.
The future that you anticipated has been canceled. Please remain seated and wait for further instructions.
Andy McCluskey and Paul Humphreys recently dropped by our studios, and we talked about how they perceived their own future when they were just starting out.
Our whole career, in inverted commas, has actually been a 35-year accident. Paul and I started out as two teenagers in the back room of his mum's house with no musical training, virtually no equipment, and just this mad aspiration to do music that was somehow going to be the future. Mm. And we had no desire to be a pop group or that we'd ever be successful or sell records. It was like our little art project. So how we ended up selling millions of records and travelling around the world is still a mystery to us, but we're not complaining anymore.
Yeah, we're not questioning it anymore.
But it is interesting, you know, you listen to your sound, that clip we just heard, several of the tracks off this new album, and it has that same vibe as some of your older stuff, this futuristic, electric kind of sound.
Yeah.
And I hope this is not insulting, what I'm about to say, but it does have a throwback quality of what we used to think the future was going to sound like.
What does the future sound like? What does the future sound like?
When we set about working on English Electric, we did decide to sort of look backwards to go forwards, if you like.
Yeah.
We sort of looked back at our first four albums and went, right, what is it about these albums that we like? Well, we loved the... It was more electronic than we sort of became. The songs were very simplistic in their arrangements, basically because in the early days we didn't have very many instruments. So we looked at that. And also we looked at the sort of non-conventionality of our songwriting. We didn't quite know what we were doing. We were making it up as we went along, so we didn't know how to write a conventional song. So our arrangements were all kind of all over the place, but we kind of liked them.
Guys were doing what essentially a lot of people claim to do now with computers, using...
Yeah, except we were all, it was all by hand. There was no computers or nothing, you know. I mean, it was... We had the most primitive stuff. I mean, the first synthesizer we ever actually owned, we bought from my mother's mail order catalogue for £7.76 a week for 36 weeks. It's the only way we could afford it, you know. There was no way we were going to get a big one from anywhere else. So it was all done by hand, but yeah, we were trying to use as many different things as we could.
Your new album is called English Electric.
Mm-hmm.
It's very straightforward.
We are English and we are electric, so there's that aspect to it. But really, it was...
Paul's actually a robot.
You're not supposed to tell anybody that. Now, it was actually a British company in the 50s and 60s, and it basically, the company made things for the future. They made the first supercomputer, they made advanced aircraft for the Royal Air Force, and they made advanced locomotives for the railways, and so they were basically making the future, so we sort of thought it was a good sort of metaphor for us.
And they went bust. Seemed a perfect metaphor. The future that didn't happen.
I want a house. And a car.
And a robot wife.
I want two kids.
And a yard.
And a perfect life.
How old were you when you met?
We've known each other since we were seven. We went to primary school together. But Andy is 8 months older than me, which pushed him into an academic year above me. I knew Andy and saw him every day in the playground, but we never really became friends until 74.
Last week.
Yeah. What time is it now? Yeah.
Although we did share a stage together when I was 11 and he was 10.
And do tell.
We'd both been naughty and we were made to stand on the stage in the lunch hall whilst everybody else had their lunch and we had to wait till the end.
Yeah, that was our punishment. But that was our first stage performance.
It was our first stage together.
Not a very auspicious beginning, but we improved. Paul had some friends and they had a band, and he'd seen me walking around the local park with my new bass guitar that I got with my birthday money when I was six. Because, you know, you walk around the park with your bass on your shoulder.
Of course.
I've got a bass guitar.
Cool.
I've just got a new bass guitar.
Yeah, I haven't learned how to play it yet, but I've got a bass guitar.
So he came knocking on the door with his mates, and I joined their band. But very quickly we realised we actually had more in common musically than those guys, because they were into kind of bad music like Pink Floyd and Genesis and Yes.
And you, there was a meeting of the minds.
Yeah.
You didn't become OMD for a few years. Mm-hmm. Some people might not know this stands for Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark. Mm-hmm. How did that name come to you?
Well, we were just going to do this one-off show. We thought, we had this opportunity that it was like a punk club, but on the Thursday night, it was like an open mic night, and you can just come and play to whoever's there. And the guy from the venue said, well, we're going to make up some posters. What are you going to be called? How do we advertise? We said, I don't know, actually, what
you
we're
really
going to call ourselves.
You really hadn't thought of that before?
We hadn't thought of the
name. It was just going to be this one-off gig. And so we went to consult my wall in my bedroom, because I used to use my wall as my notebook. My mother wasn't happy. But
no, I don't imagine.
Just used to write on there song titles, poetry, you know, and anything. And we'd had this idea for a song that was going to use recorded war noises and broken radios, because that's basically all we had access to make music when we were kids. And we just saw this Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark, and we went, well, that's preposterous. People are going to know we're not punk or disco or reggae. That's like two guys and a tape recorder. We'll call ourselves that, because it's a crazy name. And it didn't matter. It was just going to be one gig, you see.
We weren't planning for the future there at all.
I told you, it's a constant accident. It just keeps rolling over. So we did this gig, and amazingly, the guys at the club, well, actually, they liked us more than the audience did.
I have to ask you about the song If You Leave. This is a song from the John Hughes film Pretty in Pink, 1986. How did it happen? How did that collaboration come about?
Well, John Hughes, he was a fan of British bands in the 80s. He was a big fan of OMD. And he just approached us, really, and asked us to write the song.
He said, want the big song, ended the prom scene, big ending. And we went, right, we went back to England and we wrote the song.
Yeah, we did.
Except
we flew to America with our multi-track, all the song already recorded, ready to just do the final mix in LA, 2 days before our big North American tour started. And we get a call when we land. John really wanted to see us, and he sort of broke the news to us that he'd actually changed the entire ending of the film that we'd written the song for, and now our song didn't work. And could we quickly write a new one?
Today.
Today.
Oh, no way.
So we went into a studio and we wrote If You Leave today.
Yeah, off the top of our heads.
If you leave, don't leave now. Please don't take my heart away.
We played Coachella a couple of months ago.
Festival.
Yeah, and when we played If You Leave, the whole place erupted. And it was like, well, hold on, these are just kids. How do they know this song? But it really has transcended generations, that film and the song.
This has been a happy accident for this many years.
The good thing is that we restarted OMD, not for the money or anything other than the fun of it and the enjoyment of it. And it's like when we started, it's like going all the way back to the beginning. We got into the music industry by accident. We were just doing it for the fun of it and the love of it and the sort of art of it. And so as long as we're still having fun, we'll continue OMD. And if it starts feeling like a job, or we're totally pressured by it,
Or we run out of ideas,
yeah, then we'll stop.
You know, it was one thing to start playing live again, and that was great, and everybody wanted to hear the old songs, and we enjoyed that.
Yeah.
But then we quickly thought, oh, is this it? We're just a tribute band to ourselves now. But it's a dangerous thing when you're our age to write a new record, because lots of people, you know, they're in complete denial. They still think they've got good ideas and they can write good songs, and they really shouldn't be allowed to make records.
So who checks you on that? Who makes?
We have to trust ourselves.
We have to trust ourselves, and some of our audience are quite brutal. Mm.
That's true. Yeah, they expect high quality pseudo intellectual nonsense from us, so we deliver. but no, it is important. As Paul said, you know, we've already sat down and said, "What are we going to do next?" I don't know. Yeah. Have we got any ideas? We haven't thought about it yet. But one interesting thing is, we've noticed we've just started a North American tour, and even more so than 2 years ago when we played for the first time in 20 years, there's an amazing broad demographic of age groups. Mm. In the US, we joked about If You Leave, but what's interesting is we had so many hits in Europe that we're perceived as a pop group in Europe. Mm-hmm. In America, I think because we didn't have that many hits, mm-hmm. several generations have picked up on us as just being, this is really cool, intellectual electronic music. Mm-hmm. And there's all these kids and college ages and 20s and teenagers, as well as the 30s, 40s and 50s, a broad demographic, who mm. don't think of us as a pop group, who've come because they just think we're cool and interesting. Mm. And as long as we stay cool and interesting, we'll keep doing it.
I agree with him.
Annie McCluskey and Paul Humphreys are Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark. They joined us here in our Washington studios. OMD's new album is called English Electric. Andy and Paul, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Our pleasure.
A news note for OMD fans, we learned this morning that the group has had to cancel the rest of their tour. A statement on the band's website says the drummer, Malcolm Holmes, has fallen ill and he's being treated for heat exhaustion. We wish him a speedy recovery. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Rachel Martin.